listening to Trending with Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics. National speaker Timmery Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember, helping Gen X through Z answer the call to true feminism and authentic manhood. Timmery holds a master's degree in biblical theology, and she covers this week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
Hello, hello. Good to be with all of you in studio. I have a great surprise for all of you. In the pro-life world, for those who are following it, Unplanned the Movie is coming out on March 29th. Now, some of you may have heard last week Robia Scott was with us in studio, and she kind of played the villain of the story, who really groomed the main character, or really the person behind the story, Abby Johnson, who found herself participating in the oversight of over 22,000 abortions. And then she had a moment where she ended up witnessing an ultrasound-guided abortion, and it changed her life. So here in studio with me is Ashley Bratcher, who actually plays Abby Johnson in the movie. So good to have you, Ashley.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you have been on flights all over the country for the last couple of weeks. Just tell us a little bit about your past week and the surprises of it.
Well, when I got this role, nobody warned me that this was going to happen. We couldn't have predicted that this was going to be the hot topic of conversation for our culture right now. And so the last week I've spent every single day traveling to a different state. Yesterday I was in Texas. The day before that I was in Georgia. Tomorrow I'll be in North Carolina. Then I'm coming back to California. And I'm really racking up my frequent flyer miles.
You'll really deserve a nice trip at the end of this journey.
Oh yeah, that's already planned.
Where are you going?
We are going to the Bahamas, actually. We're going on a Jesus Freak cruise. Have you heard of that?
No, what is that?
It's a cruise with a lot of contemporary Christian music artists, and they'll be performing the entire cruise down to the Bahamas.
Wow, how neat. That's going to be very, both a cruise that's enjoyable, but also spiritually enriching
as
well.
Yes, a nice spiritual retreat.
So a little later on in the show, we're actually going to be getting into the surprising story between Ashley. It's so interesting because I heard that you were playing this role, and then just a couple months ago, right around Christmas, all of a sudden the story breaks that you have your own pro-life story you didn't even know about. So for those who are just now joining us, a little later in the show, she's going to be sharing her own testimony surrounding the issue of abortion, which is just incredible to hear. So don't go away. In the meantime, I have some awesome news for those who don't know. All across the nation right now, 40 Days for Life campaigns are taking place where you can go and pray and fast in front of an abortion clinic. Now, part of those campaigns that many of you might have heard of or be participating is part of Abby's story. Mm-hmm. So can you start with telling us how you came to the role of Unplanned?
Oh, wow. Actually, the role of Abby and Unplanned came to me, honestly, and it was through God, and it was through one woman's obedience to listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It was a follower of mine on Instagram. She had committed herself to praying for people in the film industry. She was not an actress, a producer, a writer, nothing. She just committed to praying for people in the industry. She and I had connected on Instagram about 2 years ago now, and she'd been praying for me. She reached out to me and said, "Ashley, I really think that you're meant to play this role." And at the time, I didn't really know her, so I thought she might be a little crazy.
A little bit of a stalker.
Yeah, and I was like, "You're so sweet. Thank you so much." And then I kind of blew her off, but she was persistent. And a couple weeks later, she said, "Ashley, have you auditioned yet? I really, really, really think that you're meant to play this role. Will you please just look at it?" And I thought, okay, well, if she's so persistent about it, I don't have anything going on this next couple of days, I'll take a look at the script. So I got a couple of pages from the script, and I was just so interested because Abby is really fun and charismatic and so likable and dynamic. And in the few pages that I got, I knew that she worked at Planned Parenthood, but I was really curious if she was going to become pro-life because I didn't know who she was. And that was when I looked her up and I heard her testimony for the first time. I was completely floored. I felt like I had woken up. I mean, it was like blinders had fallen from my eyes. And for the first time, I realized that I had been blind to what was really happening. It shook me to my core. I remember going home and telling my husband, "I have to be a part of this movie. I have to help tell this story. The world needs this story."
Now, at the time, what was your position on abortion?
At the time, I considered myself pro-life in the sense that I would never have an abortion, but I could never tell any other woman that she couldn't have one, which in reality is being pro-choice. I mean, it really is. So I was just kind of middle of the road, and it was because I didn't have the education. I didn't know exactly what happened during an abortion procedure. I also didn't really understand fetal development like I do now, which is really kind of embarrassing to say because I have a 9-year-old child. So looking back and understanding it from a scientific standpoint and understanding when life begins at the moment of conception and how it's confirmed by science that a unique individual is formed with its own unique DNA, like how could I have been so blind to not understand and realize that? So this role has definitely just opened my eyes, and I've become a pro-life advocate in addition to being an actress.
That is Ashley Bratcher. She is the leading actress of the movie Unplanned in theaters March 29th. You're listening to Trending with Timory. Ashley, it's so interesting because it sounds like ultimately you're reading the script, you don't know where it's going. You find Abby's testimony, and that testimony completely changed your life story on the issue of abortion, that you suddenly really took this role as a pro-life activist in many ways.
Yeah.
Because you saw this story and be shared. Now, something really exciting I heard, actually, you tweeted this out, is that on iTunes, this film, the trailer was trending. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, when they released our trailer, it trended at number one on iTunes.
Wow.
It was insane. And God is so funny and so good and so personal in how he speaks to us. Because I remember looking at the list of all of the movies on the rankings of iTunes. And we were above Aladdin and Avengers Endgame.
Wow.
And I'm a huge Disney fan and a huge Marvel fan. So I just remember looking at that and thinking, look what God did. How good is this?
Yeah. And look at how so many people, yourself, Robia, the directors, the producers, all these people. I mean, I know so many people who are involved in this film, but each day I find out more people who are helping in promotion, volunteering their time, choosing to take on these roles they never would have expected. I think that we're at a point in history as the nation is trying to, or should I say politicians, are trying to bring about full-term abortion, which is already accessible. It has been for years here in California. But to make sure that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, there's full access to abortion no matter what per state.
Right.
Here this movie is coming in saying, no, let's reconsider your pro-abortion view. So what would you say is the greatest impact in the movie? Like that one scene where you think, if anyone saw this, I really hope they see this part and it touches them.
Wow. That's a question I haven't been asked before. It's a difficult one to answer too, because there's so many that I think are going to impact people in different ways. I think that probably the ultrasound guided abortion, because for the very first time, we have a face for the victim. This is something that is done behind closed doors. Women who get abortions, they're not being shown an ultrasound of their child as it's being taken away from them. And you see that on the screen. The closest thing to Unplanned is The Silent Scream, which was a movie that was out a very long time ago. But with medical advances and being able to use an ultrasound machine to see exactly what's happening, a 13-week-old child, at any point, a woman can have an abortion for any reason and terminate the life of a 13-week-old child. And that's what we show, is that termination on the ultrasound-guided abortion machine.
And it's not gory, yet
no,
it is, because
no,
you're
right.
Looking at a simple ultrasound image,
yeah.
You know, black and white.
Just black and white.
You're seeing the baby react. And this is why Abby, she didn't normally participate in the room, in the operating
room.
Yeah,
no, she wasn't.
She would
there.
Maybe oversee things every now and again if something was going wrong. But she had to come in and hold the instrument that allowed for the ultrasound to take place. I remember reading in her book 10 years ago now how her hand was in pain as she was watching what was happening on that screen. And it changed the whole course of her life from then on out.
Yeah.
It, you know, a scene in the movie that I would love to hear your feedback. And I asked Robia last week, what was it like for you? The scene in the movie where Robia plays Cheryl, right? The lady who's grooming you to take over Planned Parenthood. When she brings you into the POC room, which is the product of conception room, known as, what is it, Pieces of Children?
Pieces of Children is what they joked and called it.
Yeah, she came in to kind of test you to see if you're ready. What was filming that scene like?
It was one of the more difficult scenes for me to get into character for, because I had a really hard time looking at that baby. And even though I knew that it was just a prop, that it wasn't real, being able to get in that moment and imagine that this was my life as Abby, and I was getting ready to come face to face with this baby that had been ripped apart, I had to step out several times. There were so many times before we started shooting that scene that I just stepped out and I was crying in the hallway and I just kept saying, I don't know if I can do this. And it makes me emotional now because I feel what I felt then. And I had just had to pray and I had to think about it and I had to do what Abby said. And she said during that time, you know, it was about science. It was like, it was no different to her than dissecting an animal in science class. And I had to think of it that way. So I just had to use some sort of substitution and say, okay, this isn't real, Ashley. This isn't real. This is just like dissecting an animal, so that I could go back in there and understand and try to just push through it, because I had a really, really hard time getting into character for that.
One of the hardest things for me working in the pro-life movement is hearing these stories of women and children, botched abortions, the most stories of women who are forced to have abortions or who had abortion years later, their regret looking back. It's a topic you have to almost begin, even when you're involved in the movement, just like you were having to desensitize yourself during that scene, that sometimes if we were to just think enough about the issue of abortion, it would bring us to our knees in tears.
Yeah. Yeah, I was listening to one of the House representatives in Georgia during their heartbeat bill debate, and he made the comment that abortion is so far beyond the scope of polite conversation that we can't even talk about it. We can't even look at it. And he's right. He's right. We cannot come face to face with the ripping apart of a human being, and we have to. It is time that we must do something.
And I think sometimes people become angry when you talk about abortion because they don't know what to do, or they themselves in some ways maybe have been complicit, or, you know, they kind of shut down. And so that anger that people have to you, you know, if you're talking about abortion, don't be afraid, because that anger is at the issue. Even if they're disagreeing with you, they're angry with the issue, not you.
Right.
So we're going to come back sharing a little bit later on about Ashley's story and some of the major pro-life successes sweeping the nation as they're trying to legalize full-term abortion in each state.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Timory here. A little later on in the show, Ashley Bratcher is going to be sharing her own personal pro-life testimony and encounter, very close encounter with the issue of abortion. So don't come away. She is the actress of Unplanned, the film. You can find it at unplannedfilm.com. It comes out March 29th, and we need to get out there and support it opening weekend. So Ashley, tell me a little bit about your acting career and some of the different projects you've been involved in.
Well, I gave my career to the Lord in 2012, and honestly, that's when I started working. I was interested in acting in high school. I did drama club, high school theater, things like that. But when I graduated high school, I didn't really feel like it was a viable option because I grew up in rural North Carolina. There wasn't really a lot going on there. So I went to college, and I got a degree in graphic design. And in my senior year of college, I went to the North Carolina State Fair. And at the North Carolina State Fair, there was this big booth, and it said, do you want to be an actor? And I thought, yeah, why not? And so I went in and I auditioned for this little local commercial. I ended up booking it, got signed with an agency out of North Carolina that took me to New York. I went up to New York, got multiple offers to sign with managers and agents there. I moved up to New York after I graduated. I worked a little bit, and I was very young, naive, not ready for the city. New York is a really tough place to live when you grew up in the South and you're young and not ready for it. So I only spent about 6 months there before I came back home and just was really struggling and kind of floundering to find my purpose. And I just kept calling out to God and saying, you know, why am I here, God? I don't get it. You know, if you gave me this gift, what am I doing with it? And my life got a little bit complicated in the process. I ended up having my own unplanned pregnancy with my high school sweetheart. We ended up getting married, and we kind of just tried to make things work. We moved back to our hometown. I was teaching middle school art. We were just kind of going through the motion to get on our feet. I remember talking to my students one day and letting them know a little bit about my past and telling them, you know, if you're passionate about your craft, you can always make a living at it. You know, being passionate about something is proof that God put purpose in your heart to do something with it. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I should kind of listen to myself here. And so I went home, my husband and I had a talk, and I just thought, I don't want to live this life with regret. I don't want my son to think that I had to give up everything that I dreamed of because he was born. Like, I know that we can do this. There's an industry in North Carolina. You know, do I have your support to go for this? And he said, yeah. And we started searching for jobs on the coast of North Carolina. There were studios there that were doing really well. I got an agent there and I gave my career to the Lord that year. And he really blessed it because I said, okay, God, take over and do what you want. And he kind of took over and it's been one crazy ride since.
Wow. So you were also in the God's Not Dead movie, if I remember correctly.
No. So the writers and directors of Unplanned are the writers and directors of God's Not Dead.
So tell us some of the projects you've been involved in.
So I the very first movie I ever did was this little film called The Perfect Summer, which was on Up TV. I had one line and it was, she's inside. That was convincing, right?
You practiced that hundreds of times.
Oh my gosh.
Too.
I remember getting the script because they had booked me and didn't tell me what the role was. They just happened to like me and so they booked me. I remember going through the whole script trying to find my line and I found it and it was one line. And I was just... I was so devastated, but then at the same time, I remember getting to set and being like, this is going to be the best line in the movie. Like, I'm going to do so good.
But isn't that the story of so many people's careers? Like, you think, oh man, I'm so talented. I'm ready to go out. Maybe you just graduated college, or maybe you're going into your first college course, or you got this new job and you're like, I'm going to be great. And then, you know, it's something smaller or
like you're
more
getting
humbling.
Coffee for somebody.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a good lesson. And I want to touch briefly. I'm really impressed, you know, the challenges of going to New York. I'm proud of you, man. It's hard for so many people. They move sometimes to the big cities. I see a lot of people moving to California and they come from the South, from the Midwest. And they say, man, it's so different here. There's a sense of superficiality and even challenges to our sexuality that are so hard, yet you saw it. You needed to get out of that.
Oh yeah, the Lord spoke very clearly to me. I have had a love-hate relationship with God, if you will. I kind of found my salvation when I was 13. I was in and out of church. I didn't grow up in church. My family were holiday Christians, and you know, we went Easter, Christmas, and also because we live in the South, we went during softball season.
Because, wait, why is that?
Because you had to attend church to play softball.
Oh.
Okay, everyone can stop judging me now, though.
So it's not to support your team, not prayers for the team. That's the only way you can play.
It was the only way you had. But I mean, it's a good campaign to get people in church. You can't play. You can't be on the team unless you're in the church. So yeah, we went during that time. But so I was in and out of the church. I didn't really have that consistency, and it wasn't until I was older that I really found and grew in my relationship with Christ. And because of that, he always just had this really amazing way of, no matter how much I was rebelling, to just gently remind me that he's right here. I'm right here, Ashley. I'm not leaving you. No matter how much you want me to, I'm not leaving you. And I remember being in New York at one of my lowest points in my life and just not knowing where things were going to go and being so depressed. And I just really felt God speak to me and say, if you don't change, this is going to be the end for you. And I was going down a really dark path, and I knew, I felt it. It just shook me. And it was about a week later that I decided to go home and try to figure out what I was going
to
do.
But if you weren't open to God, if you weren't open to prayer, it's not something you would have been aware of. You would have just felt conflicted, but without prayer, we don't make changes.
And, you know, that's something that I pray for my son. You talk about, you know, having the awareness. I think one of the most important prayers that you can pray over your children is that they have an inescapable God awareness. Because then, no matter where they go or what they do, they know God's right there. And it's like, it's always going to be right there in the back of their mind that God's not going to leave their side. So just like what I was going through and how I was rebelling, I knew God was, I'd be so mad. I remember, but you can be mad at God. He can take it. I remember being so mad at God, but he's just like, I can take it. I'm right here. He's a good father.
Yeah. That's Ashley Bratcher of the movie Unplanned. She plays the leading role of Abby Johnson in the movie. It comes out March 29th. Get out and support it, especially send high school students. Maybe you get together a group of high school students. Maybe you know someone. You say, hey, I want to sponsor the pro-life club at this school. Or maybe get together, you know, someone to donate to a parish and send a bunch of the youth group kids there, because this is truly a life-changing movie. But I want to talk, Ashley, it's incredible when you're sharing part of your journey, because you're saying, you know, I gave my career to God. And here I was, I tried to have an acting career. I went to New York. I came back. Just the perversion, what you're surrounded by was too challenging. But when you chose a role that our Lord really placed in your lap, look at what he's doing with it. I mean, number one trending on iTunes, the number one trailer. And I think that it's really going to sweep the nation with a lot of people who are going to be in uproar over the film, but transformed by it.
Yeah. No, so, you just saying that makes me, it overwhelms me with emotion. because I think that what we've done is so much bigger than ourselves. Mm. And God is really honoring our effort to please him.
You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray. Really awesome news. This past week, the Illinois state legislator at the Capitol had to shut down. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Because the halls of Illinois state Capitol were full of pro-lifers opposing the late-term abortion law.
Amen.
They had to shut down the building. And this is stuff we're starting to see across the nation, but it's not making mainstream media. Now, another thing that you don't see coming out in the news is that Abby Johnson ended up going on to form her own organization. Mm-hmm. And then there were none. Can you talk a little bit about her organization, the work she's doing now?
Yeah, that was one of the most incredible things I learned about her when I was researching her for the role. She founded the organization And Then There Were None because Abby believes that the way to end abortion is from the inside out. So if you can get clinic workers out of the clinics will cease to exist. It's really actually pretty brilliant. And so when clinic workers decide that this isn't a place that they want to be, this isn't something they want to be a part of, she's right there to say, we will help you get out. We will support you financially. We will provide you with counseling. We will make sure that you are not left behind. And to date, she has seen almost 500 workers leave the abortion industry. And I want to say about 10 of them were doctors.
I have right here, for those who are watching us live on Facebook and Instagram, looking at this picture, almost every single state she has pulled mm-hmm. abortion workers out, and 7 of them were abortion mm-hmm. doctors, providers. Mm-hmm. Like what Ashley is saying is so powerful, because some people, you know, think about yourself when you're stuck in a job. You want a new job, maybe for whatever reasons, emotional connection, fear, you don't step out. Same thing about people who are in the midst of committing abortions. They want out.
Yeah, and Planned Parenthood doesn't make it easy for them to get out. It's been reported by some of their former employees that they were threatened, that they, if they were going to leave, they were not going to get a letter of referral, that they would give them the worst referral they'd ever received. So these are people that are trying to provide for their families too, and they had no exit strategy. So Abby allows them to say with, you know, confidence that they don't have to do this, that they can leave and they have somewhere else to go. And what's really interesting about almost 500 people doing this and leaving abortion clinics is that you have to ask yourself, why? Mm-hmm. Why are 500 people from across the United States who don't know each other sharing similar stories and choosing to leave this job? If you are pro-choice, you really have to think about that. What are we missing that many people would leave and join the pro-life movement?
And why are they being silenced? And why is a Planned mm-hmm. Parenthood fighting to retain mm-hmm. their workers?
Exactly.
There's a reason for that. Mm-hmm. Because when you see, the reality is a lot of people don't like seeing what abortion is, you know, and I think that's the power of this movie. It shows the ultrasound. It shows the aborted baby torn to pieces, mutilated like a battlefield with arms, legs, everything there in the earliest stages of development. And people don't like showing that. It's upsetting to them. But I have to say, for me personally, seeing what abortion was part of what changed me to be totally committed to the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. And this is the story of most people, but unfortunately, many Christians don't want to go that far to expose the images of what abortion is, even in an educational setting.
I mean, I think it's no different than Passion of the Christ. Mm. Look at what a culture shock that was and how many people it brought to their knees. You know, sometimes the things that we need to see aren't easy to see. But they're important.
They're important. They're life-changing.
Yeah.
I hope this movie calls more people into their mission. I want to remind you, go check out the movie unplannedfilm.com. But also, if you're interested in Abby's work, helping maybe people you know who are working in the abortion movement, check out abortionworker.com. They help with supplementing income. They help you in finding new jobs, maybe even heading into job training to really get those certifications and things you need.
Timmery will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's Timmerie. You're listening to Trending with Timmery.
In studio with me, I have Ashley Bratcher, who's the leading actress of the movie Unplanned, playing the role of Abby Johnson. Now, this is a role that you cannot act in and not be transformed. So coming up in the show, we're going to talk about not only, you know, she's already shared that her pro-life views have changed, they're more in depth, but what's next? That'll be coming up. But right now, I want to hear your story. So when you took on this role, you were a little nervous to call your mom and tell her that you were playing this part. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I was offered the role, I only had a 4 or 5 hour notice to get on a plane and go out to Oklahoma. There was no hesitation. I said yes. God had prepared my heart. I knew I was called to do this. So my husband and I were in agreement. I got on the plane before I got home from work. I landed in Oklahoma, hit the ground running, getting ready for 7 to 8 weeks of production. Because I had left so quickly, no one really knew what I was doing. When my mom called me on the 4th day, I needed to tell her I was in Oklahoma and that I was making this movie. And I was really hesitant to share Abby's story because she had shared with me when she was in high school, she'd had an abortion. That was something I had known for a long time. It was just a casual conversation. But when it came time to explain this movie to her, I did not want to hurt her in any way. I didn't want her to feel like I judged her. I didn't want her to think I loved her any less, because that was not my intent in sharing this with her. That's not the intention of the movie. It's all about grace and love and forgiveness. And I was really proud of this story. So as I started explaining Abby's testimony to her, she broke down completely. Mm-hmm. She was sobbing through the phone uncontrollably. And she said, "Ashley, I need to tell you something that I never told you before. What you don't know is that when I was 19, I was at the clinic for the 2nd time. They called my name back. I was on the table being examined by a very pregnant nurse. I got very sick to my stomach. I knew I couldn't go through with it. I got up, I walked out, and I chose to have you." Mm. Now, I had no idea.
I can't imagine the silence on your end of the line.
Yeah, and what made it more awkward is that I was sitting in a beauty salon. So I was in the process of having my hair colored red, which was a really long process because I have dark hair. So I'm sitting in a beauty salon with aluminum foil sticking out of my hair, crying like a maniac. I don't even have words. People are just looking at me like, "Is she okay?" And my mom is just on the phone, you know, sharing her heart. And I am just in complete silence crying. So I just said, wow, mom, I need to call you back. And that was all I could say. That was really all I could. I didn't know how to process it then. And there was just too much going on. And I was in a beauty salon. I needed a private moment to come to terms with that and really think about it and understand what that meant. Because to have someone tell you that you were seconds away from never having lived your life is a really provoking thing to hear. I don't know how to put into words what it's like to think that I almost never had my child, my life, my husband, the relationships, my relationship with my sister, to think that all of that just never existed. I'm speechless right now to even try to explain what that feels like. But at the same time, I'm so grateful that my mom told me that, because in her sharing that with me, it gave me confidence to know that God really had brought my story for full circle, that he had crafted my story so beautifully to line up with Abby's, to be prepared and to be here telling her story for such a time as this.
It's like you're our Lord's chosen little one who he had his hands over. He had a plan for you. You know, we read from Jeremiah, where before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I had a plan for you. Mm-hmm. And here you are. You were made to act in this role, but you were made to live, not to have your life taken away.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible.
It was beautiful. So what happened? You know, how long did it take for you to call your mom back? What did that conversation look like?
Oh, it really took a couple of days. I mean, because we were 2 days away, not even two, we were a day and a half away from beginning filming, and I didn't have a lot of notice. I had over 100 pages of dialogue to memorize. I didn't know who Abby was.
You create your own costumes as well?
I think
I read something about you sitting in like the costume wardrobe. Okay, there's stories that come out sometimes. You read stuff. I'm like, I've got to ask her if you...
No. I am not that talented. No, we had an incredibly wonderful wardrobe designer. Her name was Anna Redman. She was fabulous to work with. I would not have been able to make it.
Those are those stories where you've got to ask first. Yeah. 'Cause I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
No, but I did have a lot of pre-production meetings, and I still had a lot of research to do, a lot of lines to memorize. And I remember just thinking, I can't get distracted right now. I know that this is a part of my story, and I'm just going to use it to find confidence, because it was confirmation and it was meant to bring me joy. You know, it was meant to let me know that she was proud of me, and she was proud of the fact that she had chose to have me. Mm-hmm. And so I just really focused on that for the moment. And it was maybe 3-4 days later that I called her back, and we had a longer conversation about the circumstances surrounding that decision and my father's involvement. And I had talked to him about it as well. And it just started to bring healing in our relationship. We haven't had a really close, great relationship. And so this is something that's kind of started this healing process, and it's still a work in progress, but I see it happening.
It was almost like that unspoken thing, it sounds like, between you two that needed to come to fruition.
Discussed.
Now, you're listening to Trending. For those who are just joining us, you're sitting in your car, wherever you're at. This is a powerful interview. So I'm going to ask you guys, head over to radiotrending.com. This episode will be up this week. You can share it. Maybe you know someone who has had an abortion, been in the pro-abortion movement, or is on the fence. Please share this interview and invite them to go see the movie with you. Coming out March 29th, you can find even some free screenings across the nation. I've been posting them on social media about here in Southern California, but unplannedfilm.com. So Ashley, in hindsight, looking back on this, sometimes people hear that they have a family member who's had an abortion and they go, okay, it's kind of something that's happened. It's a part of history. Now looking back, it's challenging because you actually have a sibling who's missing. And that's something really tough to process when you think about it. In hindsight, how do you think about the topic now, after having acted in this role?
I think that we need to choose our words with intention, with kind and loving intention, because one in three women have had an abortion. So that means that if you're sitting in church, the likelihood of one of the women on your pew having had an abortion is pretty high. So when we address this conversation, it needs to come from a place of love, so that women can find forgiveness and healing. When you talk about, you know, having a missing sibling and things like that, that is something where we have an opportunity to mourn and celebrate that life and say, to honor that life and say, you're not forgotten. You know, this may have happened, but you're not forgotten. And to say to my mother, you know, you're forgiven. And another thing that really bothers me about some people in the pro-life movement are using the words, when people use the word murderer and they say like, abortion is murder. Okay, well, a big thing for me is intention. And that is a big part of murder as defined by the law. Intention is required. Well, Planned Parenthood does a really wonderful job of campaigning to make women believe that it's just a clump of cells.
Or their intentions are very good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That they're doing what's best. Yeah. And these women aren't going in saying, I'm going to go murder my child. Like, that's not what they're doing. And we need to make it obvious that we are compassionate and we care. And I think that when we use words like murder and killing, we're not creating a safe environment for women to come to us and say, I need help. We're instead judging them and condemning them. And then women who are post-abortive, this is guilt they carry with them for the rest of their lives. They're not, as soon as you say murderer, they shut down. They don't want to talk to you.
And although the language might be correct, it's not the language that's going to win souls.
Right.
It's not the language of conversion. I mean, you're supposed to find a common ground when you're talking to someone, whether you disagree or agree
with
them. And even if you're challenging them, you don't challenge someone by calling them names. You know, it's a fallacy. It's ad hominem.
Exactly. And that's why I say it's so important to consider the intention of your language. You know, the word tells us that the power of life and death is in our tongue. So how we speak to each other needs to come with intentional love.
An ironic moment, well, irony would be the wrong word, but a moment that's interesting in your story is your father ended up going to a pawn shop and pawning his gun in order to have enough money to save your life. Now, the power behind that in so many ways, you know, just to think about such a violent act that takes place in abortion, right? But also they're going, okay, well, what do we have that we can give up to make the sacrifice to bring this life into the world that we've already created? It's in the world, but to breathe its first breath outside of the womb.
Yeah. Well, the shotgun was intended to pay for the abortion, and it was because they didn't have enough money. And then when my mom walked out and chose to have me, that money is what gave me life. She got a crib, she got maternity clothes, she bought baby clothes, and the very thing that was intended to be used to kill me gave me life.
Now, with your mom seeing that nurse when she was on the operating table about to abort you, she saw this woman who was very pregnant. Did that have a big impact on her, the fact that she was pregnant?
She hasn't really spoke much into that. I know that she was aware of it, and I think it was something that did kind of set off an alarm in her brain. Like, maybe even, you know, the Lord speaking to her through this woman inadvertently. I know that that had to be difficult to be pregnant and to see a pregnant woman assisting you with your own abortion.
Yeah. Well, and that's also Abby's story, which is so interesting because mm-hmm. she ends up getting pregnant while working for Planned Parenthood. And she's like, well, isn't this kind of a conflict of interest? And Cheryl, her boss, who was with us last week, Robia Scott, who played that, said, no, it's going to be make people want abortions more. Why do you think Cheryl told Abby that?
You know, I don't really have an answer for that because I can't comprehend it and understand it.
It's a moment I can't fully understand. Mm-hmm. I don't remember in the book why she said that.
Unless she's just was repulsed by it. And another thing, though, about the role of Cheryl, the character of Cheryl, we were very kind in our portrayal of her. Mm-hmm. I know you've seen the movie and she seems very over the top, kind of evil intention. But in real life, the accounts that we've had of her being described in real life were far worse. Mm-hmm. So I think that in her saying that, maybe it was a way for her to say, it's so repulsive to see a woman pregnant, trying to work. Look how hard it is. She has to be here working while she's pregnant. I don't know. I really don't know what it was. I couldn't comprehend her saying that.
Unplanned is going to be a very difficult movie to watch. Trust me when I say this. However, I want to challenge all of you to watch it and know that it actually can bring about a great amount of healing for those involved. You're listening to Trending with Timory. I'll be right back with Ashley Bratcher.
Timory will be right back. Tweet them at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. You're listening to Trending with Timory, where morality and culture meet, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
So good to be with all of you. A shout out if you want to see what's going on with this crazy host of yours and her guest. This is Timory. My guest is Ashley Bratcher. You can head over to Facebook and Instagram. A little later, we'll post on YouTube and watch what's happening in the studio. Hear kind of some of our behind the scenes conversations as well. But we're going to talk a little bit more about Ashley's role in playing Abby Johnson in the film Unplanned. Now, before we do that, I have another piece of fantastic news, and that is right now we are seeing across the nation the fight for the pro-life movement to be the standing ground here. And Ohio is just another state. We just saw in Ohio, they received word at all the Planned Parenthood locations that over $600,000, I think between $500,000 and $600,000 of state funding to the clinics that they were receiving is out of there as of like within the next couple of weeks.
Awesome.
It is so good to see. And this movie Unplanned is going to fire people up to continue to advocate for these pro-life laws.
I agree.
And I think that even in the state of Ohio, it's been like a three-year fight over whether or not the funding would be taken away from Planned Parenthood. So it's a reminder to persevere. Mm-hmm. Ashley, during your role in Unplanned, I would like to hear some of the key moments during the movie that really impacted you.
Oh, everything. But in particular, there is a scene where Abby has a chemical abortion. It's the RU486 pill. And something that I didn't realize was that when women have a chemical abortion, they're given one pill at the clinic and then they're sent home to take the other pill and then essentially deliver their own child.
At home alone
without a doctor's supervision. Well, Abby had some serious complications from that and she hemorrhaged and nearly died. So filming that scene was one of the most emotionally challenging scenes I've ever filmed as an actor. It was physically challenging. I was so sick to the point that I actually threw up in the scene, just imagining what she was going through. And I had no idea. I had no idea that this was a thing that happens more frequently than Planned Parenthood would have you believe. They talk about making abortions safe and legal and rare, but none of that is happening. The only thing that is happening is that it's legal. It's not safe and it's not rare.
Well, and the reality is that RU486 abortions, chemical abortions, two set of pills are becoming one of the most common types of abortions now because you can do it in the privacy of your own home. But the reality is I worked in the crisis pregnancy center for 5 years and we would have women who would come in having had RU486 abortions. Mm-hmm. I would counsel the women in front of the abortion clinics who were there for a surgical abortion after already having a chemical one. And they would talk about how I just felt like I deserved this. I didn't want to call my family members, my boyfriend. I didn't want to tell my husband what was going on. I didn't want to call 911 because I knew at the end of the day, the life of my child was being taken. Mm-hmm. And so many women feel like they deserve that. Mm-hmm. Yet the pain of what women are going to, I mean, I have one woman not too long ago, a couple years ago, she said I was passing blood clots so large, I didn't know whether or not my baby was inside it over and over again.
And Abby did that for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. 8 weeks she passed blood clots and had cramping. And one thing I also didn't know was how developed some of these babies are when they're aborted with the chemical abortion, with the pill. Mm-hmm. And they just went in. There's a moment in the scene where I reach down and I pick up the clump, the baby, and I put it into the toilet. Mm-hmm. And people were just like, wow, that's kind of like putting a goldfish in the toilet. Like, would you really do that? And yeah, that's what women do. They tell you when they send you home, don't look in the toilet. Mm-hmm. Sit on the toilet, don't look, and flush it. And it just really, really just bothered me so much because I thought, oh my gosh, like this is what we think of life, that we would flush it down the mm-hmm. toilet like a goldfish. But that's just the instinct, is to pick it up, and where do you put it? That's where you put it. And they tell you, don't look, flush. It's so horrible.
Well, and it's so sad because many women actually end up burying their babies themselves too, who are mm-hmm. so moved. They see this. I remember a woman I was mm-hmm. counseling. She had taken the RU486 abortion pills and she ended up changing her mind. Now, there for those who are listening, this is a tool for your pocket that you mm-hmm. should have in your back pocket. It's abortionpillreversal.com. Mm-hmm. A doctor that I've worked with, Dr. Delgado down in San Diego, he really created this process. It's something similar to like if someone's miscarrying their child, you give proper amounts of progesterone, various hormones to help really support the pregnancy so that the abortion or the miscarriage does not take place. And so that's abortionpillreversal.com. There's a network of doctors across yeah. the nation who are willing to help. And they've had over 100 babies who mm-hmm. are not only alive and kicking after an attempted abortion, but they're healthy. Mm-hmm. They're doing great. But one woman I was counseling with, I remember she was starting to take the supporting hormones to help support the pregnancy after she had already started the abortion process. And she ends up having a lot of blood clotting. She went into mm-hmm. the abortion, or not into the abortion clinic, into the emergency room that night. And the ER doctors forced her to take the second set of RU486 pills, saying, if you try to save this baby, the baby's going to be deformed. You're going to have health complications. And it was so heartbreaking because they made her take the second set of pills, but they didn't admit her. They didn't keep her in the hospital. They sent her home bleeding blood clots. And about 3 days later, she ended up having a little baby mm-hmm. who she could hold in her hands mm-hmm. that she buried in her grandmother's jewelry box.
Oh, gosh.
These are the real stories.
And they're not being told.
They're not being told.
They're being silenced.
Yeah. And I mean, the power of unplanned, that it shows. I mean, even that waiting room, was a really tough scene for me when you're mm-hmm. sitting in the waiting room during the movie after having had the abortion in the movie. And here are all these women tied to their seats so that they don't fall over mm-hmm. from the complications or even just the exhaustion of the abortion. Mm-hmm. What was that scene like?
That scene was actually pretty quickly shot. I don't remember thinking much of it other than the fact that I was really tired and it played into the scene yeah. because I can imagine what was described to me was that these women were just kind of, it felt like they had been drugged, like they were waking up from yeah. A hangover or some sort of drug-induced sleep, and they're just kind of either crying or moaning. Some of them mm-hmm. were in pain, had pressure in their abdomen still, yeah. and it's just kind of like this weird place of trying to recover.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about the scene during the movie where Abby's character, right? Abby is working in Planned Parenthood. She's not the director yet, getting closer to being the director. And all of a sudden an abortion goes wrong and they end up taking yeah. the woman back into the room. They end up, I believe, did they perforate her uterus? What happened?
Yes. So her uterus was perforated. Abby had a personal relationship with that father and daughter. Mm-hmm. And so the father had brought the girl in to have the abortion. Now, I'm going to let the audience make their own conclusion. But when I read the script and I saw that a father was bringing his daughter to have an abortion, I had a lot of concerns immediately. I felt something in my spirit that was a lot heavier than what was just on the page. So I'm going to leave that to the audience to figure out why that happened. Nevertheless, Abby did not know anything about that relationship. She was just really good friends with the daughter and was trying to help the family out. And so she felt a personal responsibility when this girl started bleeding and hemorrhaging. Her uterus had been perforated and she had to be rushed back in. And she was nearly dead.
She was dying.
She was on the verge of death. And Abby was just heartbroken, screaming, and she says she's going to call an ambulance. And Cheryl says, no, we don't call an ambulance because 911 calls are recorded. And if an ambulance shows up here, the protesters outside are going to have pictures of it. So it was more important for Planned Parenthood to conceal this than to protect the life of the woman whose life was in danger.
And they have a protocol when the abortions go wrong of an emergency backup plan. But here's part of the problem. States across the nation are actually shutting down pro-life laws, or even, you could even say pro-woman laws. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make sure that abortion clinic doctors have admitting privileges yep. to hospitals within the 30-mile radius, because mm-hmm. a lot of them don't have a backup plan where, hey, this goes wrong, we take you to this hospital and we have a clear protocol right. that's ready to go. They don't right. have that. And yet the judiciary system is shouting down these laws so that abortion clinics are staying open that aren't right. even meeting basic medical health standards.
Yeah. I don't understand how women can be shouting for choice and reproductive rights and looking that in the face and thinking that that's women's health. That's not healthcare.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you learned so much about the issue of abortion.
I'd say so.
During this movie. And I imagine yeah. continuing to. What is this compelling you to do in the pro-life movement from here?
To do more. I think that once you have the knowledge, you have a responsibility to share. You have a responsibility to educate. And as an artist with a platform now, I have a social responsibility to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate. So I want to make sure that I am educating myself and that I'm speaking the truth, and that when people look to me and they say, how could you do this movie? I can say, well, here's exactly why I did this movie. I'm proud to do this movie, and here's why. Mm-hmm. Here's what I believe, and I'm going to continue to speak for it. This has become a part of me now, like it or not. Thanks, Abby Johnson. but that's what she does. She's a fire starter. She's really good at activating people and convicting their hearts and changing minds. She was a very loud pro-choice feminist, and she made a 180. That's courageous. Anytime someone can stand up in front of people and say, I was wrong, man, that takes guts. I admire her. I'm just blown away every time she speaks. And I'm proud to be standing here telling her story, and I hope to continue to spread the word for the rest of my life.
And I ask people to pray for Abby. It must be incredibly joyful to see the truth coming out, but incredibly mm-hmm. painful to relive
yeah.
what you lived. And I know that she's already written her book and she shared her testimony, but this is a step further in yeah. exposing her own deepest, darkest sins.
How vulnerable, right? Yeah. How vulnerable. And it's such a huge sacrifice for her and her family to make, to say, this is the ugliest part of my life. Let it be shared for God's glory.
Mm. Ashley, where can people find you online?
Ashley Bratcher on Facebook. You just search me, I'll pop up. And then underscore Ashley Bratcher. I had to think about it. @ Ashley Bratcher on all other social media.
Excellent. I'll be sure to tag you as well while you're in studio here. It's been wonderful to have you. If you enjoyed the show, please let me know at radiotrending.com. Head over there, pick the episode, and share it with other people. I'll be speaking, doing some pro-life apologetics coming up at a couple events, so head over to timmery.com for more information. And Vox Vitae this summer is happening. It is a pro-life training camp for young people to be able to face this tough issue in our culture.
This has been Trending with Timmery. To learn more about Timmery Millington, visit timmery.com.